October 14th, 2022, 1610 hours, Ward Green here. My $500 package of supplements has arrived, so I went and picked it up today. I'm going to see. Let's unbox it. I mean, normally this doesn't require unboxing because it's just, except, you know, I mean, the only thing about unboxing is this could be the only time I've ever had an order not deliver what it was supposed to, because I've never had it happen with this particular ordering company, the company from which I order. They know who they are, but they've never delivered anything that wasn't what I ordered, as far as I can remember, anyway. I've got four boron. Okay, let's go through the list. Four vitamin D3. But we're going to have to check off. Why did I buy? Oh, yeah, I bought the D3. No, the D3 is with the K2. I buy the K2 with D3 in it, included, because that way it's easier to take. You always take them together anyway. And when I did buy the K2 without the D, I had to take the D as well, because you always take them together. So I had to, it doesn't really benefit to take the K2 by itself. I just ordered it that way so I could try it without the D, but I didn't notice any difference, or I just went back to taking the D with it, because you need D for K2 to work, and K2 uses up the D, so if you don't take D with it, you might not have it working. So, I mean, I've got collagen. One or two? Two. I got two of that. There's one, right? And there's two. Two collagen. I got the bovine, but you can get different kinds of... You can get marine collagen and stuff like that. I'm not sure why I got the bovine. That was my first choice when I shopped for it, and I had probably got some example from someone somewhere online. It would have had to have been online, I think, but I got the idea for bovine, so that's what I bought, and I'm sticking with it for now. I bought 2-to-1 calcium magnesium bone solution, it's called. And I got a couple of these, I think. Here's another one. So two of these. Bone solution, which is liquid calcium, in other words, it's liquid CalMag. It's the same thing as taking liquid calcium. You always take it with magnesium. So you could just call that liquid calcium, and it would be the same thing. Because you never take calcium without magnesium. They just are necessary to be together. And a 2-to-1 ratio is the natural ratio, although you can get 1-to-1. You can take it in the 1-to-1 form, too. If you take 1-to-1, you're going to have more magnesium. It might cause your bowels to move more freely. Probably will, but you need calcium with magnesium for the magnesium to really be effective. But, I mean, the proper biological ratio, they always say, is 2-to-1. So that's, there's nothing, it works to move the bowels even if you just take 2-to-1. Just as well, I find. So I've got methylcobalamin. Methylcobalamin. What was the other one? Something cobalamin. Some other cobalamin. That was, I think it was in one of the vegetables or fruit juices that the juice man used to talk about. He used to talk about something cobalamin. Cyanocobalamin. He talked about cyanocobalamin. And it was in, I can't remember what it was in. It was in turnips, was it? Or was it in cauliflower or... I'm not sure what fruit or vegetable that he talked about cyanocobalamin. But methylcobalamin is an excellent way to get B12. This is natural factors, 5,000 micrograms per tablet. They're little tablets, and you can cut them in half. I cut mine in half. And so I got one, two, I got three, and I got four. Right, so... four of those. Let's see how many I ordered. But we've checked the... I didn't check these yet, right? But I've got two pages here. No, the second page is just the total. $487 was the total. I got the bone solution was $30 each. I got two of them, so it's about $60. Less a couple of pennies. So $60 for that. The methylcobalamin was $12 each, so that's $48, less 12 cents for four of those. That's the right number. Four of those and two of the Prairie Naturals bone solution, that's the right numbers for both of those. The collagen, two of those, that's NACA is the brand, about they're $23 each for $46, less 2 cents. So basically that's that. There's the iodine. I ordered NACA, colloidal vegetable iodine drops. Let me show you this methylcobalamin. That's what that looks like. Why is my hand shaking? I don't think it's because I'm nervous. I think it's because I've been doing some work with those muscles today, and they're kind of, I don't know. Maybe I'm nervous a little bit, but I think it's, I've been out, well, I was out, I know why. I was out talking to people, and I got in a rather passionate discussion. That's probably why I'm shaking. I'm still shaking from that because the adrenaline went sky high, I guess, or something like that. I think that's what it is, but sometimes when you do a very heavy exertion, which I did carry the groceries, that can do it. That can cause the muscles to be a little bit shaky afterwards too, but I got in a very nice, very nice, I mean, important discussion. That's why I got adrenaline. So look at this. It's like kelp. It's from kelp. It's kelp derived from kelp and seaweed. Potassium iodide is the form. Iodine drops. If you look on the ingredients, it says that's the French and then the English. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Potassium iodide. So iodine is in there. But potassium's in there, too. I wonder if the potassium is usable. It sounds like if the iodine's usable, I guess the potassium is usable. So I'm getting potassium maybe from this. That's a good thing if I need that. I mean, it tastes really good, too, by the way. When you get used to it, it's very sweet. I mix it with my lattes, my matcha tea lattes. It's instead of sugar because it tastes really good. It actually is sweet. But I mean, I don't think I can use it. It's too expensive to use it as a sweetener. But and maybe I don't need that much of it. But there's three of those, so there's the other two. So that's three for those. They're just so nice. That iodine is a real lifesaver. It boosts the intelligence. I mean, I'm not shaking too badly. See, but this is heavier. That light box, and it weighs nothing, then my hand will shake because it's like, there's no weight. See, it's not still shaking. Am I still shaking? Yeah. Because the box doesn't weigh much, so it's kind of, there's nothing to stabilize my hand. The selenium. Let's do the selenium. Three. Check the iodine here. Three iodine, that's correct. That was $10 each. That's $30, less 3 cents. Just because it was $9.99. Selenium, I'm looking, there it is. Three of these, supposedly, right, check, they're $18 each for $53.97, which is 54 less 3 cents, $17.99 each. 180 tablets, 200 micrograms of selenium. I'm supposed to have three of these. I got to find them. Okay, where are they? There we are. Three seleniums, 200 micrograms. You have to check all your inventory once it comes in to make sure it really is what you think it is. Anyway, that's what I'm doing here so that I know. And it's just, and this is glutathione. They're expensive. Glutathione's very expensive, but so I only ordered two of them. I believe. We'll find out here in a second where I find it here. I can't find it. Uh-oh. There it is. NACA. Glutathione. It's $34 each. 75 gel caps? What are they? Vegetable caps. It's reduced bioactive form. I don't know if I was getting that before the reduced bioactive form. I'm not sure. L-glutathione reduced 125. I'm not sure. Yeah, this. You see, I used to take a different glutathione, so I'm not sure whether this is the same as what I used to take. It may not be, and I might want to go back to the other one I was taking before. I just realized that now, that I'm not sure what I used to take. I believe I tried to stay with the one I was taking before, but I don't remember it being reduced. See, there's glutathione you can take where you only take a smaller amount of it, and it's supposed to trigger processes in your body, and there's one you take where you take 250 milligrams instead of 125, I think. And that one may not be reduced, but I'm not sure. Reduced bioactive form, I don't know what that means, whether that means it's a reduced quantity or whether it means it's less bioactive or what it means. Because I haven't researched it recently. But that needs to be researched. I need to search that again, find out what that means and what I think, and decide what to do. But I have two of them. But I'll probably take these, because I've been taking it already, and it doesn't seem to do any harm. I believe it's very likely doing some good. That's why I'm taking it. But there's boron. It's the next one. I bought quite a few of these, I think. Let's see. Four boron. Yeah, four trophic boron. This is... Those are $11.45 each for a total of $45.80. 90 tablets. It's glycinate. It's a glycinate or a glycinate. 90 tablets. When I read the ingredient, it's 3 milligrams of boron per tablet, I think. Yeah, each tablet. It's in a glycinate. It says glycinate on the container right there. Anyway, that, hopefully you can read it. It's a glycinate. Or glycinate. Whatever is the pronunciation for that. But those are two. Here are the other two. So there's four of those. That's how I take it. The company is called Trophic. Trophic, just because they're the least expensive one, that's why I got them. Naturopathic Labs, a Canadian company, makes vitamin K2 with vitamin D, and they come with a bonus of 60 tablets, 60 gel, soft gel capsules. 150 plus 60 for 210 total. I ordered four of these because one is a bonus with the other one. Four of these... $20 each was $79.96. It's $80 less 4 cents because they're $19.99 each. And there, it's Naturopathic Labs. Each one of them is 120 micrograms of K2 and 1,000 international units of D in each of these. Each of these gel caps has 1,000 international units of vitamin D. And it has 120 micrograms of vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 is the calcium vitamin. It's very, very, very powerful in a good way. As far as we know it, I've never found any bad effect from it so far, ever. There's the second one. Big one with a bonus. Right? So that's two. There's the third, big one with a bonus. And the fourth, big one with a bonus. So that all of those together are 210 times 4, right, which is 840. soft gels, if I've done the math right, for $80. $840 for $80. So it's less than 10 cents each, is that right? Yep. I think that's true, right? 800 pennies. No. $80. 8,000 pennies. Divided by 840 is a little less than 10. What's 9? Nine eighths are only 72. Wait a minute now. Hang on. 8 over 840. How come I can't do that math? What's 8 over 840? Oh, it's only into 80. I was dividing it into 100. That's the problem. Yeah. So 9 times 8, 9 times 80 is 72. And 9 times 4 is 36. So it's 72 and plus 3.6, basically 75.6. The difference is 4.4, which becomes 44 when you do the next division. 44 divided by 440 divided by 84, or whatever it is. Yeah, or 44 divided by 8.4 is about 5, very close. So it's about 9.5 cents per gel cup, which is amazingly inexpensive for vitamin K2. Anyway, that's that. So, but wait a minute, let's check the list, make sure there's nothing. There's the K2, we got the iodine, glutathione, collagen, and all the numbers check, of course, as well. The methylcobalamin, which is B12, 4 of those, that's right. 3 seleniums, that's right. 2 boron solutions, that's right. 4 borons, that's right. And 4, what's that? Well, those are the bonus items. Yeah. So the bonus came, were listed separately from the 150. So that's that 60 plus 150. Yeah, 150 plus 60 is 210. Anyway, there were 4 and 4 of those because the bonus item was separate on the list. So everything is accounted for. That's the supplements for today. So I'll be putting those on my shelf if I have room somewhere on my shelf, hopefully, for all that stuff. That's going to take me through a good part of, you know, some of it may not last me the whole year, or for a whole year. I don't know how long some of it will last. Other elements there might last me quite a while. I don't take the boron even every day, so it could last. 360 would be easily able to get me through a year. So I have a year's worth of boron there, easily, but I've got more on the shelf. I'm not running out of boron right now, so that's ordering in advance. And the selenium is the same thing. I probably don't need the selenium in that quantity except for the future. I'm being optimistic and assuming I'm going to be alive. So that's why I'm buying it. The glutathione, I don't take that every day either, but I could. I don't take the bone solution every day. So the B12, I do take that every day, but I cut these in half. So they come in 60. I just bought 240. You can multiply that by 2 because I cut them in half. So that's 4 times 60 times 2, which is 480 days. That's more than a year's worth I just bought. But I'm running out of it, so I need that. So that'll take me into next year. The iodine, I don't know if that'll last me a year to have 3 of those or not. I've got one left. It's full. And I'm running out of the one I have. So I've got 4 full ones right now. We'll see how long that will last me. And the K2, I might be increasing how much I'm taking of it because it's seemingly doing me a lot of good, so I don't see why I shouldn't increase that, since it's the best vitamin ever discovered by anyone that I've ever heard of. It's the most powerful vitamin I've ever heard of. It's it does the most miraculous things of any vitamin I've ever heard of, except for maybe vitamin C, which is also incredibly miraculous. It's just, and also underappreciated, but it's only, vitamin C is only really crucial when you have an infection anyway. But, I mean, I should be maybe taking vitamin C in huge quantities because it's also an antioxidant, but I don't take anything unless I'm certain that it's necessary. That's the problem, right? So we don't want to complicate everything. But the thing is about K2, if I don't take K2, I believe I will die at a younger age if I don't get the right amount of this. That's seriously... Oops, I don't want to break... These are iodine's in glass bottles. They're very delicate. I have to be careful with it. But my floor is made of wood, so it's not going to break by hitting on the floor usually from tipping over. But if I drop it, very possibly could break. So I don't want to drop that. But no, the vitamin K2 is the most amazing vitamin because it's calcium. It's the facilitator for calcium. And calcium is the main mineral in the body. Calcium does almost everything that the body needs. It's involved in almost every body process, including the contraction of muscles and the feeding of the cell. And what else? Formation of bone, of course. It's everything in many processes. Calcium is absolutely required. Like your heart won't beat without calcium, period. Because it's a muscle, and all muscles require calcium for the firing of the nerves that drive the muscle. Because it's a nerve. It's for all nerves. For the firing of every nerve, you need calcium. But this is the calcium facilitator, which enables your body to remove calcium. Now, I'm not saying you particularly, but because every person has to be careful. But it enables our bodies to take calcium out of the places where it should not be, like in the joints where it shouldn't be because it restricts movement, like in the bone spurs where it shouldn't be because it restricts movement, and like in the arteries where it prevents circulation. And it enables that calcium to be put into the bones where it belongs. Vitamin K2 does that, and it also implements vitamin D and gets the vitamin D out of your body, thereby reducing the toxicity of vitamin D. Because vitamin D is toxic if you don't have it used up, if it builds up. Whereas vitamin K2 has zero known toxicity. We don't know of any toxicity. Plus, it uses up and reduces the toxicity of vitamin D. And it facilitates calcium's functioning, the proper functioning of calcium. So this vitamin that we call K2, this vitamin that we call K2 that Weston Price, not knowing about K2, called Activator X. He called it that, and he believed it was responsible for the prevention of dental crowding in the cultures who ate grass-fed dairy products and grass-fed meats and things that had that were rich in this thing he called Activator X. And so we discovered later than that, we discovered, I think it was in the 1920s, but sometime we discovered vitamin K2, and it's been underappreciated for a long time and still is. Doctors don't really understand it or use it in general. There's a naturopathic doctor in Canada who is the expert in the world on the subject of K2, and she's Dr. Kate Raome Blue, Ontario, Canada, naturopathic doctor. She knows more about vitamin K2 than supposedly, evidently, or purportedly anybody. Although hopefully I'm learning more about it now. Not more than, I'm not trying to compete with anybody. Hopefully I'm learning more than enough to that I can share my information with other people. And that I can, help myself in some way, I mean, hopefully. But, I mean, that doesn't mean I won't get sick or that I won't have problems or that... But I don't... From what I've seen, I'm finding it hard to believe that vitamin K2 will be the cause of any of my problems. But anything could be the cause. So, and you have to be careful with K2. There might be side effects in certain people, for sure. I mean... It's just not known to be toxic, and whereas we know vitamin D is toxic, we know virtually everything's toxic, like water is toxic, even pure water. If you have 5 quarts of it in a single day or something, you die. It's toxic, and it has a known toxicity, And vitamin K2 does not have a known toxicity. So nobody's ever eaten enough K2 to know and find out how toxic it is or what that toxicity level is, how much of it is toxic. We don't know. And I don't know whether it's possible that vitamin K2 may prevent disease. Seems like it's very believable that vitamin K2 could be, well, since it's the calcium facilitator, it could be a big benefit. That's the word I'm looking for, a benefit to overall health. I'm interested in overall health because calcium is the main mineral in the body. Vitamin K2 has the potential to be one of the biggest vitamins that can influence overall health. Like vitamin D can also, but without K2, vitamin D can be toxic and is very dangerous in its buildup and in the way it operates in the body. It leads to problems with the heart if vitamin D is only taken with calcium and not with vitamin K2. So, but K2 will not work without vitamin D. It just doesn't work. Or it doesn't, I shouldn't say that. It doesn't work without calcium, that's what I mean. Vitamin K2 will not work without calcium, but calcium doesn't work without vitamin D either. So they're all linked together. But, I mean, if you take D and K2 together, I mean, you have to. You have to. Because the K2 uses the D, that means K2 needs D. It won't work without D because it uses up the D. So there's a process happening where the K2 is using the D. It's not just using D for nothing. It's using it for something. And that's why it's only logical to believe that the use of D means that D is essential here to the use of K2. But also calcium is needed for the use of K2. Calcium is vital. So if you're not eating any calcium, you can take D and K2 as much as you want. If you're not getting any calcium in your diet, it's not very likely, or it's not very logical. It doesn't appear to be possible that you can be benefited. Unless there's some mechanism that is beyond, possibly there are other mechanisms for vitamin K2 also, but it is the calcium facilitator. So in calcium, you don't want your calcium to come from your bones. You want it to come from your diet, because the elements are formed in our bodies. They're not formed actually as elements. They're formed. Elements are formed in the stars, right? By fusion. That's how element. That's what we believe. So, all the elements on Earth at one time were present in some star somewhere, but they were fused together. And calcium cannot be fused together in the body. You can't make calcium. It's already been formed sometime in a star a long time ago. And all these elements are like that. Fusion doesn't happen in our world at the temperatures and pressures that we live in. So we can't produce, as far as we know, any element in our body. The elements we have that we need in our body, we have to eat them in order to get them. The good ones, like that we know calcium is a good one. If we eat lead, we know that's bad, right? And normally fluoride is bad because it's more poisonous than lead. And we know if we eat lead, that's bad. So we wouldn't want to eat fluoride either, right? And it's bad for us. And it's even questionable whether we should use it for toothpaste because it's very questionable because it's absorbed through the tissue as well, and it's poison. So it's more poisonous than lead. Would you brush your teeth with lead? Like, I mean, lead paint or something? You just imagine how toxic we know lead is. Just, I mean, don't imagine it. Realize it. And then think about using fluoride toothpaste and think about whether that makes any sense. Anyway, the idea of an alternative to fluoride toothpaste is to use something like xylitol or erythritol, but xylitol as a sweetener, and then baking soda and coconut oil. All of those are roughly 1:1:1, something in that vicinity, but you can mix it up to make it as sweet as you want. And if the baking soda is too powerful, you can use a little less of it. And you can add in the coconut oil to make it as soft as you want. as a paste, and then you've got, that's how you decide what ratio, and then add your flavoring, which is some kind of natural essential oil like peppermint or spearmint or something. I use peppermint. And that's the toothpaste that really, it prevents cavities really, really well, better than any fluoride toothpaste I ever used, by far. But I mean, but then again, no, that's not true, sorry. I stopped using fluoride toothpaste and I was using a tea tree oil toothpaste. The tea tree oil toothpaste wasn't doing me any good. But I believe it's still far better than the fluoride toothpaste as well. But I haven't had recent experience with the fluoride toothpaste, so I don't know. But I mean, I'm sure I would have a... I always had occasional cavities, even when I was using a fluoride toothpaste. I mean, you would get an occasional cavity. I don't know that I'll ever get any cavities anymore because of the use of xylitol gum as well. I may never get cavities anymore. It kills... It's very effective at killing dental bacteria, oral bacteria, which is in the mouth, that is. Xylitol kills all that. So all that bacteria in the mouth. So if you chew xylitol gum, which I do, it apparently eliminates all cavity potential in your mouth. Like decay does not happen. It doesn't, because there's no sugar in xylitol. It's not a sugar in the sense of having six carbons like sugar does. It's five carbons. It bacteria cannot feed on it. So it doesn't, and it kills the bacteria. Furthermore, it seems to have a deadly effect on the bacteria. It wipes out all the bacteria that are bad anyway, all the bad ones. I don't get any cavities. I can't speak for other people. I think it works for everybody. That's why they're selling it. For one thing, that's how they promote xylitol gum. But it works. I brush once a day with my homemade toothpaste, which also has xylitol in it, and I do a lot of dental cleaning, but there's not really anything there to clean because, I mean, I do a lot of dental cleaning during that one session of brushing teeth, where I use in between brushes and I use floss and I use water pick and I do everything that one time a day, but there's not much to clean up. I'm imagining there isn't much, but there's food, right? There's a lot of food that I have to clean out during that time, but there's not a lot of tartar because there's no bacteria. That's the thing that can form, that causes tartar. And then cavities form, right? If you don't get rid of that tartar, if you allow bacteria, you can have a cavity. You can break through the surface of the tooth, as far as I understand it, but I don't even need to worry or think too much about it if I'm not having any cavities. I don't have to study it very much. So I'm very appreciative of that fact as well, that it's not just my idea. It's not just vitamin K2 that I'm fascinated with right now, but I'm fascinated with xylitol as well. And I'm not using it as a sugar substitute. I don't put it in my food. I'm just chewing gum with xylitol in it. And I use it in my toothpaste, and I don't swallow the toothpaste, even though it's completely edible. My toothpaste is fully edible. All the ingredients, coconut oil, might even be organic coconut oil, whatever, I think it is, possibly, but the xylitol, completely edible. So if you did accidentally swallow it, it's not poison, right? And the peppermint, the baking soda, all of it's edible. An edible toothpaste, whereas you're not supposed to swallow fluoride toothpaste because it's poison. Fluoride is more poisonous than lead. Now, I was thinking... Now, I do believe fluoride does prevent cavities, okay? I just think, why would you brush your teeth with a poison that's more poisonous than lead when you can use xylitol instead with baking soda and coconut oil with the flavoring of your choice? Make your own toothpaste with the flavor you want. And it only takes something like 20 drops of peppermint, and I've got a little Tupperware container full of toothpaste that lasts me for months, probably, or something like that. I'm making bigger batches now than I was, but I could make a bigger one. I'm making a little Tupperware that size full of toothpaste, but I can make bigger ones. So I'm just jazzed about the idea about making my own toothpaste. I'm jazzed with that. I'm listening to a lot of jazz, right? And I'm thinking about the. I'm listening to it's jazz, but it's gypsy jazz. I'm listening to right now with Joshua Stefan and Tommy Emmanuel. Sometimes with Borelli Lagren. Angela DeBar is another player. I haven't heard a lot of any of them, really. I think I'm very interested in Yosho because Yosho has progressed quite rapidly in the past. It seems like in the past maybe 8 years or something, he's progressed as a musician in a way that fascinates me. I'm interested in jazz only to a certain extent. Where the jazz players. Also, there's Chet Atkins who inspired Tommy Emmanuel, and there are many other jazz guitar players that are worthy of study, but I'm interested in the idea of a certain class of jazz. I've heard there's a lot of jazz, like there's Chick Corea, and he's a keyboard player. I don't know that I ever gravitated toward Chick Corea too much, but I'm not sure now if I've even listened to him much. But there's a lot of jazz that I could find out more about too. Maybe I'll get into some other kinds of jazz, but the kind that interests me the most is the kind that is really based on chord structure and melody structure, or that follows a melody and sticks to a chord structure and sticks to a melody, not just to a chord structure, but follows a melody, and that doesn't just wander completely into long strings of, you know, chromatic or, you know, strange, non-harmonic kind of, you know, or unrelated sounds. There's only so much that can be interesting about that. If it's too chaotic and doesn't have any goal, if it never comes back to any melody, if it never finds, or if it only rarely ever hits a note that's closely harmonically related to the chord, you know. But so I'm interested in jazz that really stays beautifully, you know, in harmony with the chord structure. That's what I'm interested in, because that's by far the most pleasant to listen to. It's the most pleasing. You know, it's the most stimulating of the intellect too. Because if your brain can't make any sense of the harmonic structures and the interrelationship between the notes, if your brain cannot understand it, then you can't. It doesn't stimulate your mind if that's the case. So. I love jazz where there's a definite melodic relationship to the chord structure. That's the kind. It's hard to describe what I mean, but blues is like that. I mean, blues is sort of a form of jazz, and within the blues structure, you could stay within the blues, what I call the blues scale, which is basically a minor scale, but it omits. It doesn't completely omit that, does it? No. The sixth can be omitted from the blues scale, so it's like you've got the eighth, and then you have the seventh is C. You've got C is the eighth or the first, and you've got B flat is the seventh of that scale, and then G is the next note in the scale going down, and then you've got F sharp and F and E and E flat and D and C. Those are. Now the basic scale is actually the blues scale that I first learned was going up would be from the bottom up would be C, E flat, F, F sharp, G, B flat, C. So those are the only notes in that scale. That's what I call the blues scale that I learned first. So it's maybe I can sing it, but I don't know. Da, da, da. Da 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 da. That's the blues scale. Da 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 da. Like it's in that song. That's Rick Derringer, is it? What's the name of that guitar player? Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, that song. Couldn't Stop Moving When It First Took Hold, you know? And that uses that scale. Right? He's using that scale. But that's the most typical example maybe that you can find, or that's the only one I can think of. But that's an example. But that's the most typical scale. I mean, an example of a scale used in blues. That'd be the most typical one. But then you've got the idea of da 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 da. We can go da 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 da. That one da da da. Where you go to the major third instead of the minor third. Da 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 da. Now isn't that's in the Entertainer? That's da 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 da. Wait a minute. Da 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 da. Yeah, that uses the second da 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 da. Yeah, da 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 da. So that's even that song, The Entertainer, is using, that's Scott Joplin, that's using that minor to major. But the minor to major, da 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 da. It's easier to play it than it is to sing it. But if you go from the minor to the major, that's one of the most useful things in all of blues, I think, is to use that minor to major transition. Because you can use it often, actually, but that's just the style of blues that I like. Uses that a lot, but is also using the sixth. Because you can use the sixth, you can go from the fifth to the sixth, and then to the eighth. From like G-A-C, there's that too. You can use that sixth note as well in the scale. So you've got a lot of notes you can use. You can use the second, you can use the minor third, the major third, the fourth, and then which is F, and then the F sharp, and then the fifth, which is G, and you can use the A, which is the sixth, and you can use the B flat and the C, but the only one you don't really use, I think, is the B, which is the major seventh in the blues scale. You don't really use the B that I can think of, but there probably are uses. There's uses for every note. I'm sure there are, but I'm not using that one, and I'm not using much. I don't use C sharp much, you know, in that scale at all. I can't think of a use for it right now, but... And I don't use G sharp very much, but no, yes, I do. I think you can use G sharp and then A and C, possibly, like a transition to get to the eighth from. Well, I'm not sure if that's right. No, maybe it's just from G, but you might be able to use the G sharp in that position as well. In that way, I can't visualize it. I'm still learning how to articulate the scale from the keyboard into my mind. I'm still learning that. Transposing it into real notes in my mind from the actual idea of the scale. I haven't learned that. I should have learned that when I was a lot younger, I'm sure. But I mean, that would have been beneficial. But it's conceptually difficult for me, anyway. It's maybe some people are just born with more of that natural ability to do that. I don't doubt that. Yeah, because some people have perfect pitch, so I don't doubt that that's easier for some people than it is for me. But I love working on that. I love learning about that. It's very beneficial to understand music when you can hear it and then be able to translate it into notes on the scale immediately. That would be useful because you could hear a song and play it right away. And there are people who are really good at that. In some cases, they're like savants. Or, you know, they're extremely good at that, and in some cases they have they're special, or they might be handicapped in some way and they have this amazing gift of being able to, or they could just be people who have this gift without being, yeah, there are people who have, we all have different gifts, right? So and there are people who have that gift, I believe, that, and they don't have to be in some way challenged, you know, but by some other problem that they've got. But anyway, we have some things to do. I've got some Bible study to do. I'll do that in the next video, hopefully coming shortly, coming right up. That was an unboxing. $487 worth of supplements. Oops, good part of it can last a whole year. Depends on. I only use this liquid calcium every once in a while because once your body gets used to it, it doesn't really. It doesn't do much, or you know, it'll move the bowels if you don't use it all the time. So I can use it. I use it sometimes to move the bowels if I need to. But now I don't really need to use it because since I've stopped eating sugar, I don't have the issue with constipation. Is not a big problem. Where if I get constipated, I have a problem with irritation that really causes me to bleed. I don't have that problem. So this is a big benefit. I still want to have the liquid calcium because it's so beneficial to be able to get calcium absorbed readily, which that is. So whenever I need calcium and I don't want to have to take, if I can't take dairy, I can do that too. If you're lactose intolerant, that's a possible way to get your calcium. But you need sunshine. If you're taking a lot of liquid calcium, they did a study in Japan with a lot of people over multi-year study, I think it was a properly controlled study. Everything was done well. In the Calcium Factor book, it mentions this, I believe. I believe that's where I read it. This was important because it demonstrated, and Bob Barefoot talked about this, that when you take liquid calcium, you need sunshine. If you take a lot of it, If you take a lot of it, if you're trying to get all your calcium from liquid calcium, and you don't get any sunshine, you might have some problems. But if you... without specifying what the problems are. But if you take it in moderation, or if you get sunshine, so I like to take it in the summer anyway, just to be safe. I take it more in the summer when there's sun. But you know, it certainly, you can take it occasionally in the winter because it's only in large quantities that it's supposedly, reportedly, is that it is a potential problem, you know, in very frequent quantities. These are beautiful. These iodine drops are just amazing. And they taste good, which I can't hardly believe. How could something taste good? Selenium is supposed to be really, really important too. So these are all good things. Boron, I believe, is needed for the formation of bone. Along with, you need magnesium, calcium, and you need boron. So they think. But it also prevents prostate problems in men if you take enough of it. I'm not sure that the amount that I take will have that effect, but I could. I'm not sure how much is required for preventing. It's beneficial though to prevent prostate cancer. So any amount of it is better than nothing. I was taking boron for a while to see if it could stimulate my testosterone, my free testosterone. So I was taking about 10. Instead of 3 milligrams, I was taking 10 milligrams a day or something close to that, or 10 or 12. I was trying to find out whether I could lose weight by taking boron. I think I was trying that to see if it would increase my free testosterone, which is good to do that. It's good because it prevents prostate cancer. But I mean, I stopped doing that because I learned about fasting, that I could lose weight by fasting, and also by... Now I know I can lose weight maybe by just not eating sugar. It's possible I'll be able to lose weight just by not eating sugar, because then I won't be craving other food, which sugar makes you crave. In fact, sugar does make you crave eating. It increases your desire to eat. And now I don't eat sugar, but because xylitol, I don't eat it, first of all. I chew it in gum. But it's I use it for the sweetener effect that... It doesn't spike the blood sugar. It doesn't stimulate my hunger response, at least not in the same way, not as much as sugar. I think it stimulates it a tiny bit, but not as much as sugar. So I can still get the sweet response that I want when I chew the gum after my meal. I don't need to eat a bunch of sugar after my meal. So, and I don't eat sugar. I don't eat any chocolate because I don't eat sugar. But I will be eating chocolate. I'll just figure out... I'm going to figure out how to eat chocolate without having it sweet. That's all. I prefer not to use stevia or stevia, because I find that when I tried it in the past, I just didn't particularly like the taste, I guess. That's why I don't use stevia. Actually, I found out it should be pronounced stevia, but I was pronouncing it stevia. So maybe I'll change my pronunciation to stevia now. But I don't use stevia because I think I still have it. Probably still have it. Because I didn't eat it, so where would it have gone? But I've got to figure out if I can sweeten chocolate somehow without using sugar, because I know that sugar is a very dangerous, addictive substance, and I'm glad to know that. But and I'm glad to be free of the addiction of it. It's very dangerous, I believe. So anyway, I better stop this video. 1700 hours, less 1 second. Now it's 1701 hours. This is by my watch, though. October 14th, 2022, Ward Green, saying, I love you. Bye for now. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Sayonara, over and out. Hallelujah.